Welcome to the RC3.
Good evening, everybody, to the Franconian Net.Stage. We have the pleasure to introduce to you Flo from the Franconian subdivision Herzogtum Coburg, who will introduce you to the basics of 3D construction with Blender, mainly for 3D printing. This semi-workshop is beginner-friendly, so everybody can follow easily. So have fun, and now I give the floor to Flo.
Hello to all of you. I'm Florian, and I will tell you something about creating 3D models with Blender, so you can then create them in the real world with a 3D printer. Originally, I wanted to make this a workshop where you can ask questions and I answer them during the presentation, but this will make the duration very unpredictable, so I will instead try my best in the Q&A afterwards. If you have two monitors, you can run Blender on one and directly construct in parallel to the talk. I have already tried to hold a version of this workshop for the hackerspace I'm in and uploaded it. Please do not look it up, it's not that great and with an older Blender version. The equipment that I started with when I began 3D printing is a really old PUSA fused filament 3D printer, and I assembled it from a building kit that I got as a birthday present. The 3D printer itself has quite a lot of parts that are 3D printed themselves, like the joints and mountings of the frame. And the 3D models for all of these parts were also on a CD that came with the kit, so I could print my own spare parts for the printer, and that's great. And of course, there are a lot of 3D models for all kinds of things out there on the internet, which is also great. But I wanted to print my own designs. I wanted to slightly change some parts of the printer. I wanted to install a small PC cooling fan, which needed an outlet that exactly fit to the printer hot end position, and so on. So I needed a 3D construction program. And of course, there are very good and very expensive solutions for all of that. And of course, there are also a few free ones, but at the time I found an issue with every one of those that I tried, until I tried Blender. And this is what I know. What I now know to use, and that's what I can tell you about, even if there exists maybe a better program in the meantime. But here's the thing, Blender is not a construction program. It's just so versatile that you can use it as one, up to a certain extent. And it's free software, and you don't need to be connected to the internet to use it, and your models are yours. But now back to the workshop. You can see here what I recommend, and if you haven't already, you can still download and install Blender now. We will not start 3D modeling immediately. First, there is some basics that I want to go over. Here are the basic steps from 3D model to printed plastic as I understand them. I will start with the end product. We want a printed part, in this case, the highlighted cooling fan outlet. I will focus on fused filament printers, which are most common and affordable at this time. The printer needs to know when and how to move its printing head and how much to heat the hot end and so on. And it gets this information by following the printing commands of a G-code file. Actually, there is the printer's own firmware in between, and some printers use SD card interfaces, while others can be controlled via USB port and separate printing software. But this is basically how it works. The G-code file contains detailed commands of the printing process for its specific 3D model. And the G-code file is created with the slicer program. It cuts the 3D model into slices, and it divides these slices into segments and pathways for the printer head to follow. Usually, the 3D model has to have the STL format for this. And here we are already with Blender, because you can export your 3D models in the STL file format with Blender. And with Blender, you can create 3D models. So we are back on track, but first let's get to the printer again, because I have already used some words that some of you may not be familiar with. Here's a sketch of how a fused filament printer works. A feeder motor pulls in a plastic filament and pushes it into a metal nozzle. Its upper part must stay cold enough to keep the filament solid so it can seal off the molten filament. And this upper part is the cold end. The lower part is the hot end. It's heated and melts the plastic and pushes it out as a thin strip. The molten plastic sticks like hot glue onto the heated bed and to each other strip that was put down before, row after row. The plastic then cools down and solidifies until a whole flat area is filled out. And then the printer head is lifted up by one layer height and glues another layer onto the first layer. And this layered printing has some properties that you should consider during designing. I have encountered four main issues that are important to remember during designing. On the left, there's always the picture of a bad example. And to the right, there is a picture of a good example. I used the 3D, the slicer software to make most of these pictures. First to adhesion. The printed part must have enough surface in contact with the heated bed, or else it will break off during the print and that can end badly. And I learned that the hard way. Angle. The printer cannot print into thin air. It needs to either glue the plastic in a string onto another surface or bridge it from one end to another. So either glue it down or bridge it here from one end to another. And if you have these overhangs or completely round holes, then at some point the plastic will fall down. Clearance. This is important if you have interface objects like screws or nuts that have to fit into your printed part. And of course you can also drill out holes afterwards or heat the metal part up and then melt it in, but it's best when everything fits as it should. Anisotropy. The printed parts do not have the same stability in all directions. There are always some imperfections between the layers, and the parts will break most easily along the layer surface. The example shows the same part, but printed in a different orientation. And here the layers have a large cross-section. This would be good. And here the middle layers have a very small cross-section, and this is where the part will most likely break. All right, on to modeling. I'll start with a newly installed Blender. And I will set it up the way I need it to construct things. The people who make Blender software love to make changes to the user interface from version to version, so what I am doing here only applies to Blender version 2.91.0. Okay. We have started it. Now we click anywhere outside of this middle part. You can rotate by holding the middle mouse button and moving the mouse. And you can zoom by using the mouse wheel. And then I activate the tool menu in the upper right. There's a little arrow. Then I press Tab to enter object mode. Tab toggles between object and edit mode, and you see in the upper left what mode you are in. In edit mode, I set the global coordinates, so global is blue. I make my object translucent with X-ray. I activate normals. This is in the upper right here. Overlays, go down to normals and click on the face normals and I make them 3 millimeters large. And then I activate quad view. This is under view, area, toggle quad view. And now we see our screen has split. In the upper left area, you see the view from the Z axis downwards on the objects. And in the lower left and the lower right view, you see from the side. And here you still have your 3D view. And you can still use your middle mouse button to rotate. Okay, then there are units. So we go to scene properties. Here the cone shape. Select units. And I don't want metric, I want none. This way, the distance numbers will be interpreted as millimeters when exporting to STL. And I find it easier to work with coordinates that are not broken into meters, centimeters, and so on. And this would happen if you chose to use a unit system here. Now I delete the camera. I click it on in the scene collection and press delete. And I delete the light. And I save this as a template. So file, save as. Template 1. Save this. And this is a Blender template that I can work with to construct things. This is how I want Blender to be set up. All right, now an overview over some tools in Blender. The most important one first, how do I undo what I just did? So Control and Z. And you don't need to have this table in front of you during the workshop. I'll go step by step, but maybe you want to take a screenshot. Okay, back to Blender. There are two main methods I use to create technical objects. One is adding and subtracting simple bodies to and from each other, and the other is extrusion of a complex body from a 2D shape. And of course, you can also combine these. And I will start with adding and subtraction. I will show you how to create a simple mounting board with four holes in it. This is something that I actually printed in some version for a quadcopter in our hackerspace. So first I delete the cube, or first I go into object mode with tab. I select the cube and delete it by pressing delete. And then I create a cube, but I want its edges to be 45 millimeters long. So I go to add mesh cube. And here in the lower left, you can change the properties of the cube. And I set the size to 45. I can zoom out with mouse wheel. And I will put the cube in the upper right corner of this coordinate view. So I set its location to 22.5 in the X direction and to 22.5 in the Y direction. And this will make it easier to check if I have the right dimensions for the cube. So I can go into edit mode now. And if I now click one of the vertices here, it must be in X coordinate 45. And it is. I can check this here. The X coordinate is 45. So this is correct. And I name it. I go back to object mode and I name it. What did I say? Mounting plate. So this is what is going to be a mounting plate and not a cube. So we need to flatten it. So I go into edit mode, tab, and I select the lower four vertices. I can check that I have them in the 3D view. And I will put their Z coordinate to 0 in the upper right here. And now it snaps up to 0. And I want my cube to be, or my mounting plate to be 3 millimeters thick. So I do the same with the upper four vertices. So I box select again by clicking and dragging. And I set the upper vertice Z coordinate to 3. And I can move the view laterally by clicking Shift and clicking and holding the middle mouse button and then dragging the mouse. So Shift, middle mouse button, and then dragging. Okay, now we need holes in our mounting plate. And this is where the Boolean modifier will come into action. So I need to create a cylinder object with the radius of the holes that I want. And I remember the clearance rule. So if I want to put in M3 screws with 3 millimeter diameter, so with 1.5 millimeter radius, I need a bigger hole. I need a hole with 1.7 millimeter radius. So I can be confident that I can put them in despite some position tolerance or printing imperfections or whatever. So I go into object mode with tab, click into nothing, and I add mesh cylinder. I give it 24 vertices. That's what I always use, 24 or multiple of 24 for round objects, or almost always use, unless I have a good reason for it. And then I give it a radius of 1.7. And I want its center to be 10 millimeters away from the edges of the mounting plate. So I set its X location to 10 and its Y location also to 10. And I set its depth to 20 millimeters. It must be higher than the plate is thick. Okay. And then I maybe want to also take out some cavities for an M3 nut. And I can do that also. So I go again to add mesh cylinder. I give it 6 vertices because it's going to be a hexagonal nut. And I give it a radius of, what was it? 3.4 and a depth of 6, and again the location of the screw, so 10 in the X, 10 in Y, and in this case 5 in Z, so I still have an overlap with my mounting plate, and I want to name my parts. So this is my M3 nut. You double click them in the scenes collection, and the other cylinder is my M3 screw. Okay. Now we could copy these objects and remove them one by one from the plate with the or from the mounting plate with the Boolean modifier, but we will try not to be unnecessarily diligent here. So first I will combine the two objects that I want to remove. I select the nut and make it invisible. It will still be there, but you cannot see it. And then I select the screw and I go to the wrench symbol and I add the modifier Boolean. And I want to make a union with this invisible nut. So I click union and I select the object M3 nut. Now they are one object. Or now it is added to my M3 screw. And I want 4 holes in the mounting board, not just one. And I can use the symmetry of my mounting board for this. And for this, I will add an empty. So I go to add empty, just plain axis, and I put it to location 22.5. I could still change the location here if I wanted to, and I rename it center empty. All right, so I will now select my screw, and I have already a modifier on it, and I put on another modifier, a mirror modifier, and I want as mirror object my empty, my center empty, and here you can see it is already by default mirroring in X direction, but I want also to mirror in Y direction. Now I'm doing this, and then I can make my screw invisible also, click my mounting plate and add a modifier Boolean. In this case difference is okay because I want to take away the screws, and I select the screw and it is taken out of my mounting plate. Okay, now I can save it to make sure. Save as. And I can make a, and I can export this, export it as a STL. And when exporting to STL, you must make sure to click selection only. So you must have your object selected, and then you must check selection only so that you will only create an STL from this and not from all the other objects that are also in this file. Okay, and that's it. So we created objects, we have given them properties like size and position, we changed the position, and we used the Boolean modifier and the mirror modifier. And I can now give you an overview over some modifiers. These are the modifiers I use for construction, and some of them you have now seen. Okay, now on to 2D extrusion. I will first close this file, and I will start again with our standard Blender file that we have with the template that we have saved. Okay. There are objects that are easier to create with the Boolean modifier, as we all just did, and there are other objects that are easier created with a 2D extrusion. And the cooling fan nozzle that you saw in the second slide was one of these. It was one of my first models, and I would not do it exactly the same way now. And I was thinking of what I might show that others might find useful, and I thought of a cooling fan propeller that you can print and glue onto an electric motor shaft. Maybe more a thing for the summer, but that's what it is. Okay, now I need to create a 2D pattern for this fan. And I will start with the inner hollow cylinder that holds the propeller blades. So I go to object mode, I select my first cube and delete it. And now I will create a circle. So add mesh circle. And I change the circle properties. I give it 20 vertices. And a radius of 1.785. And I will create another one. But I will do this in edit mode. So I select my circle, go to edit mode, and add another circle, and give it a radius of 4. And this way, because I created it in edit mode, it is still part of the same object as the first circle. So I can edit the vertices of both at the same time now. They are one object. And these values derive from an actual electric motor shaft that I measured at some time. And you would have to choose your own if you want to print this for yourself. And now I will fill the area between these circles. You can do this with the box selection, so click and drag, and then press F. So you have 1/4, and you can do this again, and make sure that you do not overlap any of these points. You can also select the points in a different way. You can select one and then Control left click another one, and then Shift left click an inner one, and then Control left click the corresponding one. So you also have a 1/4 selected, and then press F, and press F again for the last. And then we have our areas filled with faces. Okay, and now we need to create two other circles. I will zoom out here, and they also need to be part of this object, so this is still okay in edit mode. So I go to add circle, and I give it 100 vertices and a radius of 40. And then I will create another at circle with a radius of 39. And I again have to fill in the spaces of these. I can do this with the clicking method, control, left click, alt, I mean shift, left click, control, left click, and F. Or I can do it with the box selection, but I must make sure that I do not select the inner circles for this. And if I shift and box select, I will keep my selection, and with F I create the face. And again here, box select, shift, box select, F, box select, shift, box select, F. Okay, I have my four faces and they are all looking in the wrong direction. So I now go to face select here and I shift left click all the faces that I need to turn in the other direction. And then I go to mesh, where is it, normals, and flip. And now they look upward. And now we have the space that will contain the fan blades. And I will now shape the 2D shape of one blade and then rotate multiply it. So I will create another circle as a new object. I will first again go back to vertex select and then tab to go to object mode. Click into nothing, add mesh circle, a new object circle. And this one will have 80 vertices and a radius of 26. And a Y position of 27. And now I switch to edit mode and add another circle. Radius is in this case 28 and Y position is 27 again. Okay. With shift and middle mouse button, you can drag the position of the screen, shift middle mouse button. And now I delete everything of this fan blade that I don't need. So I will select what I don't need. This is what I will keep. So I must delete all the other things. So I will box select and delete them. I'll delete the vertices, so box select, delete vertices, and the last one, okay. And now I will create square faces in this fan blade that I have here. So I select the four vertices that create a square and press F, and repeat this for the entire fan blade. Yeah. And the last triangle too. Okay. And now we have to check where these vertices are in comparison to our outer circle. So we go into object mode and we select the outer circle and then we go with tab back to edit mode. So tab is object and edit mode, toggle. And we see that we have a very sharp angle here. This would be the start of a crack, so we have to change our fan blade a little. Back with tab into object mode, select our fan blade and into edit mode. And now we only select our upper two vertices. So shift, left click, both of those upper ones. And then we move them downward. Half a millimeter in negative y direction. So we type in g y minus 0.5, enter. G y minus 0.5. And now we have moved them down. Okay. We need 5 fan blades altogether, so now I will rotate multiply it. So, first for this I need to set the blade origin to 0, 0, 0. And its origin is this orange dot here. I'm in object mode and now I go to object, set origin, origin to 3D cursor. Because my 3D cursor at this point is still in position 0, 0, 0. It is this red and white ring that you see here. And you can check its position by looking onto view and see its location is 0, 0, 0. Back to item. Okay, so far so good. And now I need to apply rotation and scale to be sure that the modifier will work correctly and do not do some strange things. Okay, so I will click Control A and apply rotation and I will apply scale. Okay. And now I will add an empty, add empty, plane axis. This will be the empty around which I will rotate. And I still have selected this empty, I will rotate it so that I will have five fan blades evenly spread around the 360 degree circle. So I will rotate it 72 degrees and I do this with my mouse in the upper left screen here and I type R72, enter. And you see that this the empty has rotated. Okay, now I apply the modifier, I select my fan blade, I go to modifiers, I add a modifier array. I don't want relative offset, I uncheck this, I want an object offset. I check this and click the little arrow next to it, and I select as an object my empty. And I, at the moment I have count 2, so I only have 2 of these fan blades, I want 5, so I increase the count to 5, 3, 4, 5. And to be able to edit these later, I must apply this modifier. So I go to, I go here to apply. Now in edit mode, top, I see that I have all of these fan blades as vertices here in the Blender world. Back to object mode. Now I must join my rings and my blades. So I shift left click my rings. When I've already shift left clicked or already selected my blades, and I go to object join here. And now they are one object. Okay, now to edit mode. Now I must make sure that they are all part of one, that they are all one piece. So I must still create some faces. And these are, for every blade, these are the points that I want to put a face into or in between. So I have selected them and I press F. And here again, it's always the lower 4 ones of the circle and the lower 2 ones of the blade, and F. Yeah, and F. Make sure that you do not select any of the inner vertices. You can also control left click and shift left click what you need and then click F. And then in the end you will have joined them all together. And also do this with the outside and you can move the screen by shift and middle mouse button and then drag. And again, control and shift, left click, F. Control and shift, left click, F. This we do 5 times for the outside. F. F, and here we already have it. So now we have one object, one flat object, but that's the problem. It's flat. We want to have something that we can print in 3D. So now we must extrude it. So we have to select everything. I press A twice to select nothing, quickly after one after another, AA, and once A to select everything. Okay, and now I will extrude. My mouse cursor is again in the upper left because I will also rotate. So to extrude 2 millimeters, I type E2, enter. Oh, something has happened. And I will rotate in negative direction. So I will rotate R minus 6, enter. So I first extruded E2, enter, and then I rotated R minus 6, enter. So minus 6 degrees. And now I will continue. E2, enter, R minus 5, enter. E2, enter, R minus 4, enter. E2, enter, R minus 3, enter. E2, enter, R minus 2, enter. E2, enter, R minus 1, enter. Okay, this looks already complicated, but it looks okay. And if we now go into object mode, tab, we can see that this is what we wanted. This is our fan that we have now here. And now we can save it again to make sure. Save as one. Save. And we can export it again as STL. Export as STL. And we again make sure that selection only is clicked. Although in this case, we would only have an empty as another object. It wouldn't make a difference. And again, we export as STL. And that's it. We have our fan. And with these examples and the table of tools and modifiers, can show those again. These are the tools and the modifiers. You should be able to create a lot of things for hobby and maker purposes. What you can also do with Blender is import 2D forms that you can create in Inkscape, for example. Or you can work with text and wrap the text around objects, which is quite difficult to do with construction programs, I believe. Okay, thank you. And I hope there's still time for questions.
Firstly, thank you very much for this informative, well, still it's a semi-workshop. We already got a few questions from the audience for you. First, yeah. Can the ends of the blades overlap with the outer ring?
You mean in during construction? I will open it again. The ends of the blades, so I won't have to join them manually. That would not work. I mean, it would look like it worked if you just do it, but then if you try to export it as an STL, it would probably be a catastrophe for the slicer program. It will not know where one part ends and where the other one begins, and will try to put it in, slice it into segments. Maybe there will even be maybe the file is even damaged or anything. So crazy stuff happens if you or can happen if you don't make one complete object out of this. Yeah.
All right, so we shouldn't. The second question, how did you change units to the measurements, like to, how did you do that again?
It's here to the right. It's the scene properties, this cone shape. And you go to units, and I chose unit system none.
I see. All right. Third, is it possible to derive the 2D sketch from the 3D model with measurements preserved, like to get the 2D orthographic projections with measurements?
No, it would be possible with a normal construction program. That's what they are for, but Blender is not. So at least I don't know a function to do that. I use a different program to do that. And even then I have to go into edit mode and look where my coordinates are, and then manually transcribe them to create drawings out of them. So it would be nearly impossible with this very complicated shape, or maybe it would be possible. For
But actually, I can show maybe later a few pictures of these drawings that I did. It is possible, but you have to do more work than you would have to do with a real construction program.
I see. Are there documented steps to get to the Blender template?
The documented steps? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You mean how I set this up? I would say the documentation will be the video of this talk or of this workshop in the beginning. I don't have, I could make up some slides and upload them maybe, but they would be probably out of date anyway quite soon, because as I said, the makers of Blender like to change the interface and the controls when they update it. It would probably be a lot of work or quite some work for not that much more gain. So I think it's best for if you just watch the video again when it's uploaded.
And there's just another question coming in. Just give me a second. Would it be possible to have an overlap during construction at vertices at the intersection afterwards and delete anything that is now inside the ring?
Let me just go back to edit mode here. I'm not sure if I understand the question. Overlap, can you please repeat it?
Would it be possible to have an overlap during construction at vertices at the intersection afterwards and delete anything that is now inside the ring?
If you have an overlap, I can just delete all of these. So this is what we started with. Mm-hmm. If we have an overlap here, you mean on the outside, for example? At vertices, you see here that the it tries to pull in the area that it created already. So this would be a problem. At vertices in between on this, I think I know what you mean. You can add vertices here if you make a cut. Now it is with Control R. It is this what's it called? Loop cut or something. You can add a vertice and grab it with G and then put it here. But even then, you would have the same problem. I now delete this one. But this vertex here is not connected to the other two, so I would have also to delete the line here. So I go to edge select. I mean, I can do that. I can now delete the line, only the edge. And then I'll go back to vertex select. And now I can join them. And I have to press F and with these two selected. And I can press F again to select them. But this is so much more work than just, because you would have to do it every time for every blade anyway. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be an advantage in any way.
So best do it your way.
I mean, you can do it for some other purposes maybe in the beginning. But for this, what I did here, I believe it's the fastest way. I did put quite a lot of work into thinking up this thing that I can show and how to make it as fast as possible.
So another question's coming in. Are you selecting quarters of the 39 to 40 millimeter circle for the whole thing?
How I do this?
It just says, are you? I'm not sure. But
I mean, I selected one quarter, so mm-hmm. The outer quarter. I had to select it in two steps because there's what happened here also. I also select these inner circles, and if I now press F, it even did it quite well. It put the faces where I wanted them, but over the faces that are already there, and this would also have happened in that case. So yes, I select only the parts that I want to create the faces, and this is a quarter. If I selected the whole half, this could maybe work, but the safest way to only put faces where you want them is to make smaller steps. So quarters is, I think, a good way to do it.
All right. Is it possible to design parametrically so the fan can be adapted to other sizes later?
I experimented with that in object mode. You can make one the position of one object dependent on another, but that's been quite a while. I don't think I was successful with that. So at least it's not that easy, I believe. But I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Are there more advanced modifiers for the spiraling step? Maybe a screw generator add-on?
There is a screw modifier here. But it's not, I don't find it that useful that often. So is the question if you can create a screw?
Probably.
I believe there are quite a lot of Blender add-ons, and there is one for gear wheels, as far as I know. There may be one for screws. Mm-hmm. Or you can try to experiment with a screw modifier that's already in there. But I believe even then, if you screw something, maybe I can just try it. Add modifier, screw, Z-axis, angle 360. That's probably too much. But we are still in one. So you can do something with this, and maybe you can put it up. Iterations. So there is a screw modifier, but I'm not that familiar with it. But it's possible that you can do more things with that. But then even then, you have still have to make sure that you get an object that you can print. And you can already see here that it creates many faces in between these screw modifier part, because it will also try to continue all these in-between faces here. So you must make sure that your object that you screw doesn't have any in-between ones. Mm-hmm. So these lines would have to be deleted, edges. So you get only the endpoints. So you must be sure that you have a whole closed object so you can print it. It's probably very complicated to get one done, or it will make you will have much work with it.
I see. All right. Seemingly no more questions are arriving anymore from the audience.
I can show you something more.
Yes.
Because, where is it? I wanted to show you what I already did with my, how I applied my blendering and 3D printing. So you can see here a showerhead holder, for example. It works quite well, and I printed it off translucent plastic or without any pigment in it. And it was surprisingly stable. It still works. Or here we were on a conference on the first congress actually, and we needed this for a cocktail bot, for a cocktail machine. We needed to connect two different tube diameters, and I wanted to print this, but we didn't have our 3D printer with us, and I had to ask someone who had one, and he said, yeah, he would print it, and he never did. So I was so frustrated, and I vowed on this day that I will bring my printer to the conference from now on. Or here, this was a bathroom lock handle enlargement, because the especially at parties, a friend of mine had to fear that people would lock themselves inside the bathroom because the lock handle was so small and it was so hard going. And then I printed this part with a tapered inside. So at some point it would really fit really well on this handle. And now it's easy to open it. And you would not be able to find something like this in Thingiverse, I believe. You really have to measure your lock and design it so it will fit. It's same thing with the shower head holder. Or here, other applications, of course, the printer. Here you see it. This is, you may remember me or may have seen me at one of the conferences. Congresses, I mean. I'm the one with the really old and glowing 3D printer. And these are parts for the printer. So especially in the beginning, the printer is its own project. Like the hinges with integrated M3 nuts here. So you can put in the nut and then you clip in the blue part and it's part of the hinge. You can just put the M3 screw in and fasten whatever you need on the other side. Of course, you have here the problem. You have to fit in the nut in a way that it, when it gets turned, its forces will be able to, the material must take up this force, this torsion force of the nut, and you have to orient your part. So this would be the right orientation if you print upward, but then you have weak points in the hinge itself. So in this case, you cannot really make it right. Or this here, it's a, for the printer, the filament spool fast clip, because you can just clip it open and exchange the filament spool. Or this blocky part here is a frame bracket. At that point, you can see I have this tear-shaped hole. I didn't know or think about enough about the trick of the bridging during printing, so I still use this tear shape, which also works so that the plastic doesn't flow down. These things still hold the printer together. What else? In our hackerspace, we let children solder things at certain events. And they have these small soldering kits. And the problem is, once they are soldered and they cut off the wires, and the wires and on the back end are pointy, and the solder metal is not very healthy. And usually we would put in tape over that. And at some point I designed these covers that you can clip on the backside. And they had to be very thin, because I didn't want to waste too much plastic. And it really took a long time designing, and we can print them standing up, which is also quite a hassle. You have to print really slowly so it won't break off. And you have to print many of them in one go, because the first one has to have enough time to cool down until the last one is printed. So because if the hot printer, if it goes too fast back to the original part, it will not stand the temperature. So you have to print more of them at one go. But it worked, and we can almost mass produce them. But it can be really troubling. You have to stay with this print because they still can break off quite easily. And I had once a catastrophe where I had a really big lump of hard plastic around my a printer head, and I only found out after it had cooled down completely. And I had to warm it up again and rip it off, and I ripped off one of the wires, and it was terrible. Yeah, that's how you learn. What else? We also have more complicated soldering kits, like this solar lamp that we made. And for this, I designed a highly integrated hold part. Yeah, this is the solar collector, and you have the LED, and the end is in a jar. And the problem was that the plastic melted or got too soft when the sun was shining on it too much, so you couldn't keep it in the car or anything. But it worked very well. Apart from that, what else here? A project of our hackerspace that was going to be a present for another one, and this is more technical. So it's a holder for complicated electrical parts, and also for functional parts that had glued in sensors and so on. So this also worked. It was quite a lot of work, but it worked on first go. With some experience, that can work. I have to hurry up a little bit here. For example, if you were on the at the camp, this was a cover that I designed for the Card 10 badge. It's of course not waterproof, but it's better than nothing. And here there's a beer bottle holder. I got the idea when I was standing in line and I was holding a beer and I wanted to have something to eat, and I had to pay for it, and then I needed a third hand. It worked out quite well, but I had problem opening it. And it broke at some point. But well, it was an idea then, and I tried it, but I don't use it anymore. Here are other things you can here see a work with text. So you can have name tags on your bottles. This is very common in hackerspaces, and you can wrap around text with Blender quite easily. And there's also a description on our Hackerspace page how to design this in Blender. It was uploaded. I held this talk for our Hackerspace some time ago. And many more. Yeah.
come to an end, I would like to ask you to invite you to join the Franconia Net IRC, because there are further questions maybe, and the audience would like to have direct communication with you. So if you can spare a few minutes.
Sure, okay.
We would welcome you there. So for now, thank you very much. You all, everybody, have a fabulous IRC, a fabulous evening. Stay healthy, and we see you in another talk.
Welcome to the RC3.